Hey everybody, welcome to the Indie Film Review. I am Jared, and with me, as always, is Dan. Hey Dan.
Dan the farmhand.
That's right, you gotta pick up all the cow poop, because we need it for later.
Get them steers and beers, man.
That's pick correct.
Pick up the steer poop.
And give me the beer. Sloop. Rhyming's hard. Anyways, this is the Indie Film Review. Like I said, we're here to review independent films. Dan, we watched an independent film.
We did.
Could you believe it? This is something
can.
We do on the show.
It is called Knee High. Ooh.
Yes.
Not Knee How. Not Knee How, like I love you in Chinese, but Knee High.
Ah.
Knee High is about a stubborn farmer whose grandpa or father dies.
Father, I think.
Father, yeah. Okay, so the father dies and the farm itself was barely scraping by and they're not up to code with like the government. And this guy is so stubborn that he doesn't want to do things the new way to like actually not get fined and lose the farm.
Anyway, honestly.
Yeah. And he like rightly so because he grew up there and like everything just he doesn't know how to cope with the loss of his father and dealing with the finances of the farm at the same time.
Yes.
The film is largely about his journey through grief and learning how to accept change.
Yeah.
In the form of being a farmer and not wanting to give up your land.
Yeah, that's pretty concise because it's like he's trying to balance the grief of his dad passing away and then him finding out like, oh, my dad was in huge debt and this farm is going under and now it's my responsibility. And then everyone else around him is just like, you should give up on it. Just spend time with your kid.
But he's fucking stubborn and he's like, I grew up here. I want my household home. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. I suppose some of us like to stay where we grew up, but your kid lives, I don't know, 30 minutes away. You should go spend time with him.
Yeah, yeah. And so from some research I did on this, this originally was a short film.
Yes, it was.
And then that short film did well. And they were able to parlay that through...
Parlay.
What is it called? Crowdfunding. Yeah. It's like, what is it called when people give you money to make a thing? They did crowdfunding, and they made this film. So that's pretty cool.
They boarded the pirate ship and evoked the parlay of...
That's right. Look at me. Look at me. I am the movie now.
Okay, so I do want to say this. Director Marissa Vaughn... She wrote and directed it, and it was also co-wrote by Michael Ridley, who plays the lead in this film.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
I just want to talk about Marissa Vaughn here. She grew up where this film is set. This film is set in Iowa, and it's like a bunch of farmland. And so reading the short biography on IMDb, this film makes so much sense. It bleeds her childhood, and like that could be to the detriment of the film. It could be to the benefit of the film. There are certain elements where this film is very slow. I could barely call this a slow burn. Like, it's a very slow movie. And it's like, it's all about studying this character as he travels through grief and nothing. Like, the stakes aren't very high in this film.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe it could have become higher if it were. I don't know. I don't. To me. Like, to her, and to people who are in Iowa, like, this makes sense. Like, the stakes are probably very high because this is a very common thing. But to me, a Florida boy who just, you know, lives nowhere near farms, and maybe oranges are around me, I'm like,
But you're deathly afraid of oranges, so that's kind of a struggle. It's a cross to bear. Absolutely. They're deathly afraid of oranges.
So... I can't say that I enjoyed this film 100% because of the narrative, but I can say that the way this film is shot, like this woman knows how to film Iowa. She knows how to film in low light. Like, she, her team of people, like, just everything that about this film just looks gorgeous.
That was my first question to you, is how do you feel about the camera work?
Camera work is what makes this film whole to me. Like,
yeah,
there's so many moments where, like, you could just take a still image of it, and it's just like, wow, this is an excellently composed image. And then just, like I said, the low lighting and the silhouettes, really, really good.
Yes. Very strong camera work, lighting. I like the sound, even when we're doing, like, there's some shots of characters in cars and it's a little muffled. I still think those types of scenes worked.
Yeah.
I liked that play with, like, well, we're not going to just mic them up like they're in a car and the camera's, I don't know. There's something nice, like, charming about that. The way this film looks is so good.
Yeah.
The establishing shots, there's close up. It's very, very professionally done. My next question to you, Dan, and we kind of already hinted at it, is, was this film keeping your attention?
No, it was a rough watch for me. There were moments like, okay, so the narrative itself is interesting. I'm actually very curious to watch the short film iteration to see, mm-hmm. see what happened. There is a lot happening in the narrative. Like, okay, so you have, just without spoiling some things, like, he is separated from his wife, if they were ever married to begin with.
I was confused because at first I thought they were together for a while. And I was like, why is he treating his wife like his sister? And then it took me way too long. This might be just me, but it took me a while to understand that they were not together anymore.
I completely thought that too. I thought they were brother and sister at first. And, like, he was just a really close uncle to the kid.
Yeah.
But no, they were together and they're now separate. And that was interesting. Like, I like that relationship. Maybe we could have done more with it. Just his stubbornness. Just, mm-hmm. I don't know. As a character study, it makes sense. But as a narrative device in this film, it's like, dude, how can you be this stubborn? Like, everybody mm-hmm. is telling you, hey. And I think that's really what might have been part of the problem. It's like the pacing of this film is a little too stretched out. Like, There are moments.
This is a two-hour film.
Yeah, it's a two-hour film, and there are moments when I'm really for these extended shots because they look amazing. And then there are moments whenever it's the narrative being long, and it's like we're just kind of hanging on mm-hmm. small amounts of conversation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, the dialogue doesn't take you far in the film, and then the camera's not really doing something interesting.
It's small talk.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of the time, it is very realistic, like, hey, how are you? Are you doing okay? How are things going? And yes, that happens in real life, and there's a lot of scenes like this, but in a movie, you have to keep everyone's interest way more than just, like,
well,
normal people talk. Like, every scene needs to convey something or give us information.
This is where I have issue, because as much as I didn't enjoy it, it speaks to her as a person, the director.
Yes.
So it's like, this is a very personal film.
It feels like a very true to life
yeah.
film.
So for, like, the filmmaker. In that regard, I can say this is, there's a time and a place for this type of movie. And I've seen this type of movie be very successful at film festivals. I even, I acted as a producer on a film like this whenever I was in film school.
We have a producer here.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I got to be, like, in the helm of marketing a film that was almost exactly like this, like, very slow and very methodical.
I'm just teasing you, Dan.
Well, I'm just, like, what I'm trying to say is I scored this film's director, the film that I'm talking yeah. about, I scored him a NPR interview, like, through just marketing and email. And I got to sit in on the interview. It was really cool. So I know there is a market for this type of film. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's not a film for me.
Again, I don't think there's anything wrong with the premise. It's the way the story is told. It'll just show you imagery, or it'll show you characters doing things that are, it's just inconsequential. Like, I'm going to walk around in my house for a bit. Or, you know, I don't feel like I ever felt a connection with the main, like, I don't know the main character's name.
Cal.
I was listening. Maybe I missed it, but, like, I couldn't figure out what this main character's name was. And he is just not great to everyone around him.
Yeah.
And very, very, very stubborn. And I know he's grieving, but I don't know if that gives you a license to just be an asshole to everybody.
Okay. So you have him grieving for his dad that he just lost, but then he's also kind of...
The farm, too.
Well, in the farm, but also, like, you have that relationship juxtaposed with the relationship with his son, who he doesn't live with him. He lives with his mom. Mm-hmm. And it makes me curious as to how his relationship with his dad is, and is he doing some of the same things?
That could have been so interesting to learn more about.
Yeah.
I would have loved to learn that, because then we'd know more about the main character, Cal, and then I could maybe start to care about him more. For the length of this film, I really didn't get to know him or a lot of the other characters.
Other than the fact that he's stubborn.
Yeah. And it's like, how am I supposed to latch on to him and care about his story and what's going on in the narrative? You know what I mean? In that way. And it's like, there are maybe two or three scenes with characters where I'm like, oh, hey, there's something here. All right. They had a moment together.
Speaking of the stubbornness, I did enjoy Cal's, what we could call a comeuppance in the end. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. In spoilers. Yes. Okay. Did you have another question to ask me before we get into this more?
Yes. How did you feel about the score of this film?
I thought it was sufficient to what the film was. But I felt like it was just always happening in the background, and it gets very
always happening in the
drony
background.
And like, and we could use some silence every now and again.
It got annoying to me because it's so present. Yes. Like you say, it's almost all the time. And it makes sense in the beginning, kind of like this foggy, mysterious death that happens.
Yes. Because the whole first part of the movie is that funeral.
The variety of the sound that we get doesn't really maybe honestly that might have been what hurt the film for me. It's just like there's no the conventional feelings of what a score would do for us, like, you know, make us feel a certain way. It's like it drones the entire film. And
what you just said, to make you feel a certain way, the music and the score is there to make you feel a certain way and accentuate scenes.
And if all it's doing is droning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like you hit the nail on the head.
No, I'm just saying if all it's doing is droning, and like, I think parts of the film, it serves very well, but then other parts where it's like, you know, him playing with his kid and it's like,
Yeah, yes, yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. How did you feel about the acting in this movie?
I like the acting. I think everybody did a great job.
I think so too.
Cal, like, as tough and stubborn and awful as he is, he plays it to a T, right?
Yes. I think he does a great job. You can really see the hard work that everybody put into this film.
Exactly.
And I feel bad about saying bad things about it.
I don't think we've said anything bad per se.
Okay.
Because, like, we're celebrating it, but at the same time, we just, I think we just have a disconnect with the narrative.
Yes, disconnect on what the focus of the film should be.
And a disconnect with the score. But the cinematography of this film is what you watch this film for.
It's so good! It's great! The transition shots and the establishing shots of the farm are so fun. I really liked all of that.
Yeah.
And there are moments where we're holding on a character for like 2-3 minutes. And that can be pretty powerful when used correctly. And I think it works sometimes in this. But when you do that and then go right into doing that again, it becomes tedious. There's no, like, it's almost like some of that has to be earned through us learning more or having those conversations with the characters. Okay, the main character's sad. He's upset. And again, like, we don't really feel his anguish or pain that his father has passed away. The film doesn't allow us to even know who the dad is. The film, which I'm not saying it should, that could be a way to get into what's going on. The other way, like you said, is we learn about the dad and how he treated his son. And through that, we learn more about Cal, right? And then it's like that could have been our connection to him and figuring out what's going on with this guy. Maybe, like you said, kind of like why he is the way he is. If I understand that more, he becomes a more realistic character to me. And I'm like, okay, I can understand him better.
Exactly, despite his stubbornness.
Yes.
Because, like, there's one plot line. Let's get into spoilers.
All right, so we're going to spoil this film. I believe this film is pretty freaking new. I could not find a streaming service for it. I believe it is in festival. So knee high, we are going to spoil it. 2023. Okay, go ahead.
So there's this plot line with this woman named Jess, I believe her name is.
Is it the community manager?
Yeah.
She's like trying to help the farm. I think her name is Steph.
Steph. Yeah. Okay. So like,
I liked her.
She's the new person who took over after the dad died. Cause the old guy's like, I guess friends with him. And then after the dad died, he's like, this is a lost cause. He was in too much debt. I'm not dealing with this anymore. Yeah. So she's the new community manager and she's the one that Cal has to deal with. And she's being a hard ass on him because it's her fucking job to do that.
She's like, here's what you need to do to fix your farm. He's like, but I don't understand your new ways. And it's like the new ways are use fertilizer. Like he doesn't understand what fertilizer is, but go ahead. Like, what are we talking about?
What I'm saying, what my point in bringing this up is I would have been more in tune to this conflict.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what the conflict in this film is. He's going up against this new way of governing the farm without his father.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he knows is about to change, and he's not ready for it to happen. And while I appreciate that as a character, I don't feel for him because I think what we've been talking about is like the film doesn't let us feel empathy for this guy because it's just kind of shrouded in mystery, like who he is as a person.
Yes. And that resonates with all the other characters in this. But what I'll say, there's a scene where Steph is at like a get together, people like tailgating, and the main character's there and he's like, oh, Steph is here. And they go and talk and they have a beer together. And you see like this chemistry between them where you're like, oh, what's going on here? That was so interesting to me. And there is a little payoff on the end where he kind of tries to invite her out and she's like, no, I'm not interested. I actually really liked that a lot.
Yeah.
Just because there was like a thing there together. It would have been interesting if they played that up more where he was like, oh, maybe I'm falling for this person, but I also don't want her help.
So he asks his wife at the end of the film, or we don't know if it's his wife. We just know that they are together. They had a child while they were in high school.
Yes.
And I think that's what happened. And like, they just kind of went their separate ways afterward. So during this time, he asks his ex-lover to go to the Harvest Festival with him. And she says, no, I'm not going to do that. Not a good idea. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he's having a conversation with Steph at the end of the film. And she's like, you barely scrape by, kid. I mean, the numbers aren't good, but at least you kind of did it. And he's like, oh, okay. Hey, do you want to go to the Fall Festival with me? Or like the Harvest Festival? It's like,
I loved it.
And she says, no, I'm going to take a rain check. No, I loved it too. That's what I'm saying. Like, I loved how he got burned by both people.
I think it's really great. It's a fun payoff. And I think it, like I said, if they played it up even more, like him thinking like, you know, he's flirting with this girl. And she's like, no, I'm just trying to get your farm running. I like that a lot. That's an interesting plot. I took a lot of notes and I condensed them down into some talking points that me and you can go through if you're interested.
Okay. If I'm interested. Another thing I wish is there was more dialogue in the scene when his mom decides that she's definitely moving. Like, she's like, I'm abandoned.
Yeah, that was a big scene.
There could have been a lot more dialogue in there.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe this speaks to his family dynamic, you know, and the fact that words aren't said.
Yeah. You can definitely convey a lot of things just through the acting as well.
Yeah.
So in that scene where the mom is leaving, she's like, oh, I forgot my pills, because the son's going to drive her to her friends. I'm not sure where. And he's like, oh, I'll go get them. So you think, I'm thinking in my head, okay, these pills, they're important to the story.
He's driving her to her grandson's house.
Okay.
She's going to go live with the grandson and the ex.
I gotcha. And I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, all right, what's up with these pills? Why are they so important? He goes into the house. I don't even know if they show him get the pills. Maybe they do. He walks into a bedroom. He sits down on a bed. And then he looks at a picture that's out of focus. We can't see what the picture is. And he just kind of holds it in his hand for a second. And then just lets go. And then we cut to the next scene. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was frustrating.
What is this? So, like, what did we learn here? What was the purpose? And I just surmised that it was just, it's nothing. Nothing happens during this scene. The pills aren't important. That photo, we'll never know. I don't know. I think maybe it was of him and his dad. I'm not sure. It's just a scene that happens. Another scene later on, it shows him eating some food, right? And then it cuts to him walking through his house. And these scenes are great. They look really nice. He's walking through his house. The camera's following him. It's just a lot of really good stuff going on. He sits down at a desk. He starts looking through papers. And this is taking like minutes of the film of just this happening. Because it's happening in real time almost. Then he gets up. He got some of the papers. He walks back through the house from where he came. He sits in another chair, starts reading the paper some more, and then we just cut away to really nice shots of the farm because we're going to cut to another scene. And I'm just like, I don't get what that scene was. And I feel like that happens a lot in this movie mm-hmm. where everything feels like establishing mood and tone, and there's nothing else going on. I need more meat. I'm hungry.
Well, okay, so speaking of meat, I have two things I want to talk about before we're over here. The one of the best scenes in the film is he arrives at the house with his son, the farmhouse with his son, and he sees somebody pulling up the driveway in the back. And he's like, Avery, you go inside. Just go inside. I'm going to take care of something. And he like basically briskly walks up and the camera's following.
Yeah, it's great.
And it this guy is about to just put a sign saying a public auction up there. And he goes and berates this guy. He's like, you get the hell out of here. You get off my land and blah, blah. Like he got really, really angry. And just the whole communication of the acting and the cinematography, the blocking, like everything in that scene was so well done. It was the most aggressive scene in the movie. And it like, I felt his anger and I felt like I was about to like, you know, whenever you get so angry that you're about to cry, like you're about to fight somebody. I felt that. I fucking felt that. It was awesome.
And we could have seen more of his frustration on his inability to act, his complete denial of everything. Because when someone confronted him about like, hey, they're putting up your farm for auction, he literally tells them, no, that's a misprint. That isn't happening.
Yeah.
He does this throughout the film where he either refuses to acknowledge reality, you know, or just straight up will not speak to someone when they say something to him that he doesn't like. And I want to see that in come out. I want to see is he thinking in his head? And the most we ever get is like when he finally asks for help, but that's like,
yeah,
way too late at this point. I don't even know how he saves the farm, to be honest, because it feels like he screwed the pooch.
Exactly. And again, I think that the more I am talking about this film, the more I'm coming to terms with that this just might be his dynamic. Like he has not learned anything besides being on the farm, right? And like now that that's taken away from him, he's at a complete loss. Now, before I talk about the last thing I want to talk about, the bar scene. The bar scene is fantastic. The cinematography in the bar, like whenever he's getting drunk with everybody.
Yeah, that was fun.
I love that scene. I love that scene. So the auction. Jared, tell me if you felt the same way I did. At first, the farm is being auctioned for $1 million.
Yes.
Okay. And nobody is buying it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is he getting really fucked here? And I thought about that. I'm like, oh my God, is he getting like super fucked? And then they brought it down to $50,000. And then
from $1 million to $50,000.
Nobody's going to buy it. And then he starts welling up a little bit. And then he gets basically the crux of it is he gets to buy the farm for $1.
Yeah.
And I'm like, was that everybody being nice to him or does nobody want to buy his land? I was confused.
It wasn't conveyed well enough for me because I was also confused. Yeah. It made me feel bad because I'm like, wow, his farm is really going to go for 50K. I'm like, that's sad.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, these are all his neighbors. He's been talking with these older farmers who have been saying, hey, we'll help you. We can buy the farm and you can still work on it and blah, blah, blah. But he's too prideful, right? So this is their way of being like, hey, we want to help you. But I don't know how auctions work, but can you just put your farm up for auction and then buy it for $1 and then all your debt is gone? I don't think that's how it works.
I mean, when you say it like that.
Because if that's the case, I'm going to do that with my house right now. I'm going to stop paying my bills. It's going to go up for auction. I'm going to be there. All I have to do is just be friends with everyone. I don't know. That sounds like fraud to me. So
I think the sentiment is the neighbors were there to like be part of the auction.
Yes, but still, but then this technically means that this group of people can just keep doing this indefinitely and there's nothing anyone can do to stop them. They're like the farm council. Also, this auction scene, which should be the climax of the film, it was shot like very like a standard kind of like, okay, here's the auction guy, he's doing the auction. I don't know, they didn't feel like there was any stakes. The camera wasn't conveying any stakes. The music wasn't conveying that.
That's why I think it was so crucial for me to understand what was happening. And I think I finally realized that, like, it was, you know, okay, Marissa, we joke. And it's a funny joke, might I add.
All right. You don't have to fucking pat yourself on the back there, guy. Come on.
No. It was you. I'm patting you on the back. Anyway.
Oh, you can definitely do that to me.
Marissa, even though we joke, I think I understand the point of this scene in that you aren't supposed to know at first if it's going to be sold at $1 million because all the stakes that you're talking about, Jared, are in his face and we get his acting. That's what you have to pay attention to in this scene because he starts to realize, oh my God, my neighbors are actually being gracious to me and I don't have to lose the farm. But I mean, it leads to that plot hole, but regardless, it's the thought that counts and like the feeling, yes, the catharsis that this guy feels as, you know, he finally gets to let go of his grief and try to make something of his dad's farm.
But during this scene, which, you know, we should be rooting and feeling good about him achieving this, I'm just like, oh, he's just going to be like a stubborn asshole anyways, and it probably not do great on this. I don't know. Like, I still wasn't really rooting for him as a character.
That's why it's crucial that nobody wants to go to the Harvest Festival with him.
That is true. I kind of like that. Jerk. You're right. Everyone at the end is like, no, rain check until I'm dead. it's just him and his kid, Abe.
At least Avery likes him. Yeah. Ave.
Is it Avery. Abe or Ave?
Ave. Avery.
Avery. I thought they said Abe. I'm like, what an interesting name for a kid named Abe. Avery makes more sense.
Go build a log cabin, Abe.
Build a log cabin.
Guys, give Marissa your love. Go see her in the festivals. If you are on the festival circuit and you see Knee High, the cinematography is worth watching, I think.
It's a really pretty film.
It's just, it's a 2-hour commitment. That's, but like what other film is a 2-hour commitment?
Every film is a 2-hour commitment. So. But I've said this before, if you're going to make that film that long, you better be keeping everyone's interests. And yeah, you have to like consistently be doing that. The lower amount of time you have for someone to dedicate to it, right? Like the more lenient we will be when watching something like that. But yeah. You know, a lot of really good stuff in this. I'm disappointed with the overall outcome of the film, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Dan, do all the stuff.
Guys, you can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. That is where we get these films. Send us your screeners.
Send us your screeners. Dan, thank you for doing the podcast. And audience, thank you so much for listening. I really, really appreciate it. If you would like to support us, you know, we got a Patreon. We got all the other things, and you go check it out. Maybe rate us 5 stars. I don't know if you want to, I guess. That's it. Okay, Dan, you got the final word.
$1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $ Sold to the men for a dime.
Ooh, beep, boop, 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 boop.
Congratulations, you got a podcast for a dime.
Yeah, that's about how much our podcast is worth.